Hello, and welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing Super Time Force and the Sonic Dreams collection.
Yeah. AKA Super Time Force Ultra.
Yeah, this is the Ultra version.
Shut the fuck up. Nick, tell me a little bit about Super Time Force.
Yeah, Ultra. I will. So Super Time Force Ultra is a game from Capybara Games, released on Steam last August 2014. Capybara is kind of indie sweethearts with the Might and Magic game under their belt and that Critter Eaters game. But this is a platformer with the way I described it previously was that it is Lost Vikings meets Contra meets Braid. It has like rewind properties and multiple characters at the same time.
Yeah, the time function is pretty unique as far as I can tell. Like it's similar to those things, but not really like them.
Right. Yeah, it's not quite right.
Yeah, it's and what it's interesting that they did this, because what I most knew them for, I didn't know Critter Crunch or anything, but for Swords and Sorcery, which is a game that I think we should do for the show at some point. And it's just like a really pretty amazing iOS game that I think has been ported to Steam.
Yeah.
As well. And that game is kind of known for doing really weird things with the interface. So I'd really love to have you play it on Steam so you can talk about it, because the iOS version, it's similar to a Year Walk where it does a bunch of weird tricks.
Right.
This seems like the straightforward, like the hit that this company is going for. Like it's the most commercial thing they've done. And kind of the idea is that you get into these levels that are a little like Contra or Metal Slug or something like that, and you have a minute to beat them. Mm-hmm. But you also start with a very generous amount of times you can rewind. And when you rewind, you add another character, like kind of goes into the time stream at the point that you rewound to, and both characters exist at once.
Right.
And you use this to solve, like, not really puzzles, but like platforming challenges, like, you know, just action challenges.
Right. Especially on like the boss fights or something where you clearly could not kill them even with the full minute dedicated to the boss. Like even if you only had to fight the boss for that minute, there's no way one character can deal enough damage to get through this boss. So yes. Basically the premise of the game is, you know, if you're able to not die, you want to exist for as long as possible with one character who's kind of doing, you know, as much as possible, especially in the boss fights, kind of dealing as much damage as possible before they die, and then rewind back as far as need be, you know, possibly all the way back to the beginning. Play through again with another character who, you know, you'll see a ghost of your previous playthrough who's still killing all the enemies that you killed in that run, you know, that portion of it. But now you have another character who can, like, collect all the pickups, or deal more damage to the boss.
Yeah, or destroy in the environment, or do anything like that. So you kind of set, it's almost like it's got like a programmic element,
mm-hmm.
to in a weird way. Like, I'm going to set this character who has this strength to go through the level and do this thing, and then I'm going to have this other character who has this other strength go through and do this other thing.
Yeah.
And so far as what I've played of it, I haven't beat it or anything, but the characters all have pretty different kind of strengths and weaknesses. That work really well. The other kind of mechanic they layer on top of this is that if a character dies and you can save that character's life, that character becomes a power-up. And then those two characters occupy the same space. You can take an extra hit because we're in Contra rules. And then their charged attack does both characters' things
right
at the same time. So theoretically, you can just kind of build this like homunculus that has the powers of everybody.
By saving all the lives of all the ones that died previously.
Yeah, and you can do that on purpose, but it introduces this pretty interesting economy, because you have a limited number of rewinds you have per stage. And early on in the game, you don't run up on that limit.
Right.
And then as you move further into the game, the levels get more challenging, and you're more likely to run into a problem with that.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my favorite levels, in fact, for that was at the very last level of the... I don't know if you played the... I think it was the early 1990s one that's all internet based.
Yeah.
The end sequence of that one, like, it is very, very time restricted. You kind of do these waves of bosses where you have to get through one boss, and that unlocks the next boss, and that unlocks the next boss. And so you really have to time out your rewinds appropriately to allow you to actually have enough time left and dealing enough damage to the final kind of section. Because the first time I tried to go through it, I mean, I had like 5 seconds left by the time I got to the last guy. And no matter how many rewinds I did, I ran out of rewinds before I could deal enough damage to defeat that boss.
Yeah.
So when they play it properly, you know, some of the levels don't take quite that like perfect advantage of how many rewinds and the time limit. But when it is done, it can be like a really interesting challenge.
Yeah. And that's really neat. Like when you say when they do it properly, like that ends up being kind of true too. Like I really liked this game. If I have a problem with it, I think that like the concept is so good, and when they design around the concept, it's so good. And the actual, like, if it was just a straight Contra game, I don't think it'd be very good.
Right.
You know, like the actual levels, as far as shooting levels without the gimmick, are not that great.
I agree.
So like there are long stretches where they're not really using the gimmick, and it's like, it's not particularly fun, and not in a way that, like, you know, it's not actively bad. It's just kind of like there are parts where I'm like, okay, like I get it. You know, I'm walking forward and there's a platform here and there's a car here, and like, you know, but it ends up being like some Super Mario Brothers, you know, one stuff.
Yeah.
As far as platforming goes. And then each level has a couple moments where it comes alive, but you kind of get those points in between them where it almost feels like I would prefer it as like a set of like set pieces, you know?
Right.
As opposed to having to go through, like, there's a lot of filler level kind of stuff.
And it seems like in those filler portions, like, the rewind function serves little more than, like, allowing you, you know, requiring you to have another character to grab a pickup that goes flying off screen when you defeat an enemy or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just extra lives. Like,
yeah.
This level's really hard. You're going to die a lot. So we gave you a bunch of rewinds because you're going to need them as extra lives, which is way less interesting than the other stuff they do.
Yeah, because it just ends up being like a attrition mechanic. Like, it just wants you to have fewer rewinds for the boss to make the boss more challenging. Like, and it's and not to damn it, like, it's a really inventive mechanic. It's really neat, and I haven't seen it before. But it ends up being like in the hands of like somebody who, you know, did really kind of amazing kind of 2D just traditional Contra style running guns. Like it would have been better, or as like a Here's your, you know, just select this challenge, and this challenge, you start out with 5 seconds and you have to do this thing.
Yeah, there is the challenge levels in this Ultra version we have, that those are pretty fun. I don't know if you checked that out. Those are, you know, there's another selection that aren't levels that are just kind of going through the simulator rooms. And those are all just like puzzles based on time limit and rewinds. And those are really neat.
Yeah, that's really cool. I did some of those, and it actually does feel a little bit like a second game even. Like, it's so, you know, it's I think that's a little bit stronger, but like the game, it was like, it seems like it was an afterthought, you know, too.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's just in the main game. It also, the other thing too, like, and I'm not trying to just be a grump, but the other thing too is that like sometimes like the humor works for me in this game and sometimes it doesn't, but
yeah,
it always wants to. Yeah, like it is always like it's pretty like I hate describing something as try hard or like smacks of effort, but it's like it is really, because like Swords and Sorcery, which I really loved, is really subtle.
Yeah.
Like that's a funny game, but it's very subtle. And this is very like meme-y.
Yeah.
Like there are lots of memes, and like that part like didn't do it for me. So I got a little bit annoyed sometimes at cutscene stuff, and you can just skip them. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's just an action game. But you know, when I'm trying to like look at it in good faith, like I was like, I should watch these. And I, you know, maybe it was just the moods that I was in when I was seeing them, like especially when I did the first one where there's like a lot of setup.
Yeah,
I was just kind of like, I don't like sitting through this very much.
No, I agree with you. Like it is like it does seem like a try. It almost feels, without actually pointing out specific memes, it feels like those like corporations that are incorporating memes and internet stuff into their commercials.
Yeah.
And it's no. This is obvious. Like, why is this general speaking in mall speak? And so I don't understand.
Yeah, it's just weird, and they're not like an unhip company. Like I feel like they could do it.
Yeah,
you know, it's like they've done it before. It's just like this weird gambit on how the game is written.
Yeah, not sure about that either. But I mean, with that said, like I think we basically voiced the grievances, and outside of that, this game is really, you know, it's a neat mechanic. The art's beautiful. The sound's really good.
Yeah, the music's really good.
It's a damn quality game for sure.
Yeah, it's super good, and I love that. Like as much as I don't like a subscription video game service thing, like this is the second, you know, nearly perfect game we've done for the show that is free on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
And pointing that out, that the first month of PlayStation Plus, or the first month that I had it, like Isaac Rebirth was the free game. Like,
yeah,
they're doing marquee indie game titles on that thing, which is pretty rad.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by that. By the fact they're they're giving, you know, signing up with these indie developers to push out free quality games.
Yeah, like real big ones too. Yeah, it doesn't feel like they're sparing no expense on it, which is just, it's going to be awesome because it's going to get more people to play this game.
Yeah.
Which is indeed really, really good. Like, I do really like it. And the mechanic is just like so inventive. It was born of a game jam, which makes total sense.
Yes.
Right? Because it's the kind of thing where somebody could just come up with a mechanic and be like, what if you could fight monsters with your past selves?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, and then they just worked on that mechanic until eventually they got it. And that's the cool, that's like the best case scenario out of game jams. Whereas like a lot of game jams just end up being, you know, shower simulator, taxes simulator.
Yeah.
Going to the bus simulator, like let's gamify a thing that isn't a game.
Right.
And that's the joke. But this is like somebody actually came up with like a mechanic I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And that's rad. Yeah. Super cool.
Super good game. Super Time Force Ultra. Check it out, guys.
Yeah. If you have PS4s, you have no reason not to play it.
Yeah. This episode's coming out the same month that you were able to try it. So if you guys hear this episode and it's still September, get a PS Plus and check it out.
Hit it up.
That moves on to Sonic Dreams Collection. Now, first of all, I know it's weird recovering Sonic on an indie show, but these were unreleased Sonic games. An indie developer, Arcane Kids, who we've talked about before, you know, they found them and they released them. And so I think it's apt, like, these are kind of a different direction for Sega. So I think it's apt that we covered on the show anyway.
Yeah, it's not an indie developer, but it's like an indie curator.
Yeah.
You know, so like they found it and they did the work to actually make it playable and stuff because they found it on an old Dreamcast.
Right. So
an old dev kit, rather.
Exactly. So Sonic Dreams Collection, it is a collection of four games that were being licensed by Sega by a secret development studio called MJ Studio. Mm-hmm. They were four games that were going to come out on the Sega Dreamcast and, you know, for one reason or another were never released. Mm-hmm. So the four underdeveloped mini games are Make My Sonic, which is sort of a, you know, create your own Sonic, name them, the whole, you know, your first name plus the hedgehog on DeviantArt to see what you get as results. That's what this is, just gamified. Eggman Origin, which was apparently going to be an MMO. You have to kind of do some work to get this working. I think people had to kind of dig into further stuff to figure out how to make it work. Kind of doesn't work on its own. And then Sonic Movie Maker, which was kind of Sega's take on Pokemon Snap. And My Roommate Sonic, which apparently they were somehow developing an Oculus Rift game back in the Dreamcast days. I don't know what that's about. But
I think the story was it wasn't specifically the Oculus. The idea was that it was going to be one of those, because people have been doing kind of fakey VR stuff. You know, like since the 80s and 90s, people have been trying it.
Yeah.
I think it was meant to be like a clunkier version of this. And then the cool thing that Arcane Kids did was actually make it work for the Oculus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can play it without it. Neither Nick or I have Oculus.
Yeah. We've played it without it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just a real fun minigame collection. Like if you love Sonic and you are nostalgic for like Dreamcast kind of things, like Sonic never really had this. Mario was constantly doing mini games and doing little side games. And just recently when Sonic started doing like racing and shit, this was kind of the first foray into just like, let's just brand Sonic on a bunch of fun mini games. They're clearly in development, like when you play them, but it's a really, really neat piece of video game history.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's it. There are some kind of spoilers we're going to talk about. But I think that's probably it for the spoiler free section of the show.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to cut to a little bit of a spoiler here, and let's do some admin stuff real quick, and then we'll cut to a spoiler and we'll talk a little bit more about these minigames. So
if you like the show, please tell people about it. Please rate and review it on iTunes, and please support us on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/stuckfeedtv, you can kick us $2 a month, get you access to our Slack channel. $1 a month gives you access to a bunch of like backer blogs and updates and stuff, so you can see when we're doing things.
Yeah.
And even a pittance helps. And I for one would like to have more people check out this show.
Yeah.
So check it out, comrade, in 2015.
The Slack, you know, you mentioned the Slack channel. That's a new thing Cole's got up recently and invited the Patreon guys to. And it's been a lot of fun, like just having direct chat with everybody all the time. So I'm a real big fan of that. So come chat with us, guys.
Yeah.
It's real nice.
If you don't know what Slack is, because when Cole told me about it, he's just like, I'm starting a Slack channel. is if I would just, you know, instantly know what that was, because I'm, you know, a tech guy apparently who has a, you know, has that. But it's just a chat room.
Yeah.
But we have them organized. So there's a chat room for every show. There's a couple of special subject chat rooms. So there's like a tabletop gaming and a comics one. I want to do a book club one.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to in preparation for October, spooky October. And then also for preparation for the Bonfireside Chat episode, I want to do get everyone to read The Shadow Over Innsmouth and have a talk about it.
That sounds rad. Yeah,
that's a great book. And then also at some point, I want to run a play by post RPG in the tabletop.
That'd be cool.
Section. So we can do it as a private room. And I don't know how I'm going to pick people for that, but it's just a cool place where like shit's going down. So if you don't back us at any level, you know, $2 a month gets you a lot of cool shit.
And so we have our, you know, Comrade has its social media outlets on facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade and on twitter.com@comradepodcast. And Gary, I do believe you are still running a Kickstarter.
Yeah, at the time this comes out, there's still just a little bit of time left for my Kickstarter for Souls of Darkness, my Dark Souls book. It is almost complete, the book part of it. So I'm going to start releasing sample chapters and kind of draft chapters pretty soon.
Yep.
But I'm very excited. I've already made the goal, but there's just stretch goals ahead. And the next one at the time we're recording this one of them is a promotional comic, I believe. Which is going to be, if you get send away 10 box tops of Dark Science cereal, you got this promotional comic in the 90s. It's all in universe with ads and the like. And then also doing three short Twine games that set up the backstory of the game.
Oh, right.
So doing some text adventures that are in that same universe.
So did we already meet the Bonfireside Chat episode?
We just just met that one. So there's a fake me and Cole and a special surprise expert. So that's recently confirmed, are going to do a fake episode of Bonfireside Chat as if Souls of Darkness was real and we were covering it as a spiritual predecessor of Dark Souls.
Excellent.
So it is a ridiculous like multimedia campaign at this point.
I'm a fan. Yeah.
I didn't think about this when I set up the thing, but if I knew people who did it, like the ultimate stretch goal would have been to make the game. Like, and just like, and it's just, and in like a year, I'll come back and ask, yeah. I'll like just learn how to do Game Maker, you know, really, really well. And then just be like, all right, I want to make this game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, actually do it. But
yeah, the 100K stretch goal.
Yeah, exactly. Like enough money to make a fully produced, like from the ground up Legend of Zelda with Dark Souls mechanics.
Pretty rad.
Would be pretty rad. So.
All right, guys. So thanks for listening. And we're going to cut to a spoiler section here, talking a little bit more about Sonic Dreams Collection.
Haven't played it, play it. It's free. Like, yeah, Google it is free. You have to play it.
They obviously couldn't sell this. It was, you know, Sega copyright stuff. So it's all released on free on Arkane's Kids site. Actually, it's on hedgehog.exposed. That's the actual URL to get to their front page specifically for this game. So play it. It's free. There's no reason not to. And do not listen to the next part into the app.
You have to play it. The mini games are so good.
Mm. All right. Okay, Gary. So, enough of this bullshit.
So Arkane Kids, if people pay attention, those are the same people who did Bubsy 3D Goes to the James Turrell Retrospective.
Yes, it is.
Which is one of my favorite video games of all time. And these guys are secretly becoming, like, one of my favorite indie developers.
I'm so in love, dude. It's so good.
It is so good. So, like, the story that we mentioned is true, or is their cover story.
Right.
And when
it's
you
not true.
It's not true. But it is. It's official. Is I guess what.
Yeah,
I meant.
we're playing in canon with their story.
Yeah. If you, but if when, and when you start playing the mini games, like, it really feels like a real thing, like the music and the sound effects and everything.
At
like
first,
the menus, the UI, everything feels pretty right. You know. And you do that. You know, you do them in order. Like, we'll talk about them in order. But like, Make My Sonic is a little bit goofy.
Yeah.
But not nearly as cool as it gets eventually.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's pretty much you know, really simple. It just randomizes the size of your head and like the direction and limbs and the color of your Sonic and gives it a random name. Mine was really good. I want to look this up. Hold on. Because I posted it on the Comrade Twitter, and it was Metal Rogi in parentheses sexy outfit, Raven the Supreme Immortal Hedgehog. That was my random name, and I loved it so much I had to put it on the official Twitter.
That's super, super good. Things get great, though.
Yeah, like, things do get great.
So then, the next one you can play right out of the box is Movie Maker.
Because Eggman Origins, when you start it up, if you don't do any digging, it just has a screen and says cannot connect to SegaNet. So we'll ignore that one for now.
Yeah, but we'll come back.
Yeah. So the Sonic Movie Maker, there's kind of a subtitle at the start of it that says like Sega eventually like kicked it because of some secret or some hidden storyline or something in it.
Some of the subplots were too dark.
Yeah. So you start playing it and like I said, it's kind of a Pokemon Snap wannabe where you find a video camera in every level and and you have to record a minute's worth of footage. And then you can also publish that footage on Twitter after you're done. That's another little hack Arcane Kids put in there.
Yeah. You have not a minute, you have,
30 seconds or whatever.
You have like a limited number of seconds. You're it's right. A little bit like a Vine.
Yeah.
It's 6 seconds. So I guess it's exactly a Vine.
Yeah, my bad.
which I'm sure is not a coincidence. And you just have these little little setups. So it's like Sonic at the beach. And there's all these like beach balls and stuff like, or in the backyard is the first one. And there's like footballs. And then there are little like word balloons you can put by them.
Yeah.
And you're just supposed to have fun with Sonic. But the, so two things that struck me at this is one, this is a good idea for a game anyway.
Yeah.
Like this is legit. If you took this seriously, it's a good idea for a game. Two, I found it actually really scary.
It is like, frightening.
Going through the Sonic Movie Maker, like the progression is scary.
Is frightening.
Because it's like you start out in the set and it's just very dark and seedy, like right out the bat.
And Sonic is just like this like randomly moving ragdoll. It's just like falling up on stage.
And making little like sounds. Like every once in a while you'll touch him and he'll make the like spin noise.
Oh god.
And it's like the sound is empty. It's really perfect. Like, and you just get to explore this set that has all kinds of unneeded space that you wouldn't need for like an actual game.
Yeah.
For this.
I found on the first level, I found actually, it was the second one. The prom one? Is that the second one?
The prom one's the third one, I think. Okay. I think they take a little while to get to prom.
Okay, so what's the first one is just in front of a house with some stuff. And like, if you put certain objects on Sonic, he like has little hearts floating off of them. That's pretty much all there is to that first level.
Well, I think it has the first Easter egg guy, the egg-shaped.
Is there one there?
I think he's in the corner, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think he's in every level.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'll ask you for a thing that's in this. So in the first level, he wants a football.
Oh, okay.
You can bring him back a football. He just says something.
Yeah. Okay. Cause that's the only, I only did that in one level and yeah, that's all I did was say something.
Did you do, cause he has special things that he does.
Okay.
Sometimes.
No, you'll have to spoil these for me cause I'm not aware.
I didn't find all of them.
Okay. Like,
and if there's a game to it, that's the game other than just the experience, but everything takes a dark turn when you get to, I think the third one, which is prom night. Cause the second one is Sonic and Amy. Amy is the red hedgehog that Sonic has sex with. and they're just hanging out on a beach, I think. The third one's prom night, and you're like deposited outside this scummy hotel, and you just hear like the sound. There's one like lone light coming out of one. It's such a perfect scene. And you just hear like music, bumping music, and then like just the faintest flicker of Sonic, like, gotta go fast. I'm gonna do it. Like just yelling out like Sonic phrases. And when you get there, he's rolling around in the bed with Shadow the Hedgehog. Amy
and Tails, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Tails isn't there. Tails is like in the corner past that, I think.
Yeah. And they're all just ragdolls like randomly undulating, like rolling themselves into balls on each other on the
making
bed.
These sound effects, like, it's, oh yeah.
So good.
I'm the Vanguard. Like it's just he's like really good. And this one, the egg is hiding behind the hotel. And if you bring him Tails, he says he's always wanted to kiss Tails. If you bring him Tails, he creates a heart that's on fire that you can manipulate on that just leaves a trail of fire that, as far as I can tell, doesn't like actually end.
That's awesome.
So you use that just to like make big, cool trails in the sky and stuff. The other thing, and this is an Easter egg I couldn't figure out, so people who are listening to this should write in or hit us up on Slack if you found it. On the roof of the hotel are two dialogue things I couldn't get to.
Oh.
I was trying to like stack up the cups because they were playing Flippy Cup.
Yeah.
Before, and I was trying to stack up the cups to get up there, but I couldn't do it.
I didn't start like really digging around until after that.
Yeah, there's hidden shit in all the levels at least to a degree.
Yeah, the only thing I found was like there's like a rope you pull and it lights up another little photo booth stage thing in I think that one or the previous level. And then like out in the shadows, and there's no light to turn on, but out in the shadows there's just like a DDR stage that you can pull in, and like it's an impossible to manipulate, but it's like as if you wanted to take pictures as if they were the characters were playing DDR, but you can't actually use it.
Yeah. I think that there's little interactive bits.
Yeah.
But then it just continues and just gets grosser and more, you know, sexual and more fetish like.
Yes.
Because the next one, is this the feeder one?
I believe so.
Yeah, so Sonic is tied down, and he's got this thing over his mouth for food, and his two things you can make him say are, like, feed me more, and I'm so full. And you just get food and shove it into his mouth until he's about ready to burst. Until eventually Tails pops out of a cake, and you have to feed him Tails. Which, like, the subtext behind all of these jokes is that someone masturbated to this exact thing.
Yes.
Like, the joke behind this thing is that this thing that is Dreamcast has this marketing behind it and is this dumb and innocent.
Right.
Are giving people legit boners, because all of the stuff that they're doing are things that there is so much porn about.
Yes. Like, this one especially, the feeder one, and then there's a later level that gets even worse.
Like when you get the birthed out.
So I think that might be the next level, actually.
Well, the next one, you give birth, and then eventually you actually get born. Oh no, I think you're right. I think you get born, and then you help Sonic give birth.
So yeah, you're like inside.
That's a good. That's what happens.
That's what
happens. If you have first to remember one thing, birth. It's you get born, and then you help Sonic give birth. that's what happens.
So yeah, oh, the feeder one, actually, that one I did see the Eggman in, like, for the first time realized they were in every level. Mm-hmm. And they're like up on this balcony watching over you.
Yeah.
And like you can just see their outlines, but you can actually swing the light right there, and I swung them out so that I could record video of like the light swinging in and showing these egg people off, and then that's swinging great. Back again.
It's actually a cool game.
Yeah,
like it's a really good idea for like a game. My favorite thing is, so you get born out of Amy's vagina into a crib.
Yeah.
For some baby fetishness. But then the next one where you drop cannonballs on Sonic's body and make him give birth to things. Mostly rings.
Yeah.
That one, if you look, it's a hospital, and you look out in the observation room, there's Shadow the Hedgehog and Amy just staring like darkly at all this is happening. God, it's so good.
It is really good. And then this one, the secret little Eggman guy thing, is actually outside of a window you have to break, and then go down. You can tell you can go out there because there's like, I think there's a note behind a curtain or something, and then there's also speech bubbles out there you could grab.
Yeah.
And then if you use one of the bowling balls to hit the window out, then the guy says he wants something down at the bottom, and I think you could probably like kill yourself and get lost forever by jumping off the balcony.
I don't think it lets you. I think they're invisible walls.
Oh, really? I was like up on some like railing. I was pretty sure I could just jump off, but I didn't want to break the whole game.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. It is a prototype, after all.
It is a prototype.
So that's what happens there. And then you go to My Roommate Sonic.
Yes.
Which, as far as I can tell, at least according to Wikipedia, is actually Oculus certified. Like, you can play this with the Oculus.
You can
so
play
good.
It with an Oculus, yes.
So it's you and Sonic. You're sitting on a couch. And watching hedgehogs.
Yeah. Like nature footage of hedgehogs.
And it's so weird how big he is. He's got human proportions to you. So Dr. Robotnik texts you and says, like, man, are you finally gonna make your move tonight? You know, do it, tickle him. Go for it.
Well, first he's like, hey, I can see you, and like your vision zooms in on this little square of a tiny little Eggman in the curtain who's like cheering you on.
Yeah.
It's great.
Super, super good. So you have to tickle him, but he keeps slapping your hand away. So the trick is to use your hand to take off his shoe and tickle his feet, which gets him into a boner frenzy, and he acquiesces to make out with you.
Yeah.
And it gets really trippy, similar to the end of Bubsy a little bit.
Yeah.
You get sucked into the swirling vortex.
Yes.
And that unlocks another stage for Movie Maker.
Yes.
Where you play the roommate thing, and the cell phone is on the table, which you can play a working version of Snake on, and it's really hard.
Yes.
I wonder if something happens if you do really well at that.
I don't know. I didn't play long enough. I only got like 3 bites in before I was like, nah.
Yeah. It's really hard because you have to like actually move and click to the next thing. Like, there's no way to actually look and see it well. You know, yeah. see the full screen and just kind of tilt your head. You actually have to step.
Because you're, like, insect-sized on the coffee table near this giant cell phone.
Yeah.
And I think either during the end of My Roommate Sonic or after you complete this bonus level, you do get a password by an Eggman in this, like, credit sequence. And people then eventually dug in and found out that with the username of the fake company, MJ Studio. MJ Studio as the username, I think, and the password you were given. You can start up this other little application that comes in the zip file for Sonic Dreams Collection that is the SegaNet server emulator. Mm-hmm. And that starts up and acts like it's connecting to servers and all this stuff and takes forever to connect. But once you have that up and running, you can go back to Make My Sonic and publish your Sonic to SegaNet. And then you can go to Eggman Dreams. Eggman Origin. And join an empty server. You can't actually play this online, unfortunately. Join an empty server of just yourself with the Sonic you created, except it's like malformed into a bird.
Yeah, this is really weird. Essentially, you're just like going and grabbing eggs, which this Eggman like creature building sucks off of you to get bigger.
Worms.
You're right. They're worms, but they look a little bit like eggs, and then they stretch. And at first, it looks super phallic to me.
Yes.
And then I realize they're worms.
And then after you feed him a sufficient amount, he eats you, and there's more vor stuff, and then that's pretty much all there is to it.
Yeah, it's not really the climax of the game. It's more of like a cool Easter egg.
But it is a cool Easter egg, and it is funny that you have to like wander around this uncontrollable wasteland of Shadow to find these worms to feed this gigantic growing Eggman.
The fact that it's called Eggman Origin is very funny. Like this is how he came about.
This is how he comes.
Like little Sonic birds fed him.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm a mature person in general, but something like this always makes me feel like incredibly immature because like this scratches like I was like just laughing a lot at this.
I was
like,
laughing a lot.
Yeah, it scratches like I'm not a highbrow person. Like this just works for me.
Yeah.
And it's not entirely stupid. Like as I mentioned before, there is a point to it. Like, it is making fun of the Sonic fan community, which I'm, in general, all for.
Right.
But it's also just, like, tickles the lizard part of my brain. Like, because Sonic is, it's just, like, Sonic is so stupid. Like, having this, like, attitude hedgehog, like, just, like, you know, feed me until I blow up. You know, like, it's just very funny to me.
I'm a really big fan of this entire thing. Arcane kids are quickly growing to be, like, someone I just had to find out about everything they do ever.
Yeah, it's been a little, you know, it's been some time since they worked on stuff, and I just like I will follow these guys, like pretty much you said, like I will follow these guys to whatever they do.
Yeah,
I'm curious, and I love that they're just like just doing it for, you know, for the love of it. Like it's like this is such a non-commercial goofy thing.
Well, yeah, I mean their two biggest features so far are based on other people's IPs that they couldn't possibly make any money off of.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
And the whole joke is like, what if this was the game that these guys made? Like, that's the whole joke. It's hilarious.
It's super good. Yeah, so I think that's about it.
And
we just talked about what we thought of all the things that happened, but I hope that you played it before that, because the surprise is like, I knew going into it that something was up. I didn't go into it like, if someone was like, hey, we found a new prototype of a Sonic game on Dreamcast. Do you want to play it? I was like, fuck you.
No,
in the Old West, I could shoot you for asking me that. Of course I don't. Like, but the fact that I knew these guys were involved, like I was like way into it, but I didn't know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I purposely avoided spoilers when I like, and that's when I first like Twittered you or texted you. I was like, we have to do this Sonic game.
Right. Yeah. I think I heard about the My Roommate Sonic Oculus part at some point. But the rest I didn't know about, and you know, I didn't know anything about the Movie Maker, which was the best fucking part. So
yeah, super good.
Really good. So if you didn't play it before listening to this, you're stupid.
Yes.
And why'd you do that to yourself?
But it'll still be funny. You should still play it and see how it articulates.
Also go back and play it. And if you never played Bubsy, like go play that too.
Yeah, Bubsy3D.com. Beyond reproach. So
it's so good.
Yeah, it's super, super good. So if only we had Frog Fractions 2 to pair with this, if Jim would finally let the cat out of the bag. I don't actually want to tell anybody, but I'm just waiting for that to get discovered.
But yeah, I can't believe that. There's no way it's out already.
He won't say.
Of course he will.
Like, but I mean, there's a good possibility that it's, you know, I don't know if he's being truthful or not. So we'll see.
Yeah, you've got ins with that guy now, so you'll have to let me know the scoop before the scoop gets scooped out.
I guarantee he doesn't like. I'm sure that he's not super thrilled about being asked about Frog Passions 2 whenever anyone hangs out with him socially. So I will not ask him. But
fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.